B-Pod Studios.
Brady won't throw me the ball because he has no trust in me.
Rich.
I have a super dry tongue. Look.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Be listening sometime tomorrow morning during the show for your chance to score a pair of tickets to the Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final. And you'll be caller number 63 when you hear this.
I do the jitterbug. I do the jitterbug. Wake me up before you go-go, 'cause I'm not planning on going solo. Wake me up before you go-go, take me dancing tonight. I wanna hit that high. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gag me with a spoon.
All right, when you hear that, if you're calling number 63, you will win tickets for tomorrow night's game. This is all happening tomorrow. Gear up for the Stanley Cup Final with the Bruins exclusives by stopping by the Boston Pro Shop at TD Garden. Receive 1 hour free parking validation in the North Station Garage with purchase until 5 p.m. or online at bostonproshop.com, and that's how you will win. Now, Ty Anderson, you do not seem to be a man who has much in the term of body hair.
No, I can grow a pretty good beard, and my leg.
But that's where everyone has hair. Women have hair on their legs. But you can grow a beard.
Yeah,
but in terms of your chest and back, there's no hair.
No, not really. No.
No, I don't know how that's possible. Well, you have to be hair suit.
No, I don't have a lot of chest hair, and I get hair in like patches on the back, but not full on like.
At Camp Young Judea, there was no kind of self-confidence problems when you went into the shower.
I'd say there probably was.
Now, was that penis related?
No, it was not.
It was not.
No, I think we all know that that's not a problem.
No, that was a shadow in a picture. And I
not
like
at all.
Are you still
not a pleat? That's real and it's magnificent.
That's right. But how were you self conscious? You've never been a heavy man.
No, I was actually super thin, like thinner than I am now. Like I graduated high school at 145 pounds thin.
And how tall are you?
I'm almost 6 feet.
And 145 pounds.
Yes. I was really thin.
You must have been very intimidating.
Yes. I could always run faster than everyone, so that helped.
Really? You were a speedster?
I was, and then I slowed down dramatically as I got older.
Did you play track?
No, I didn't.
You did not run track?
It was more escapability from the larger people that wanted to beat me up when I was a kid.
Were you picked on?
When I was a kid, sure.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
In high school?
I know you find that shocking, but yes.
In high school they picked on you?
More middle school.
Okay, what did they call you?
Oh, it wasn't names per se, but I was always a smaller and thinner kid. I was really thin, so I was a target.
Because this was long ago.
Yeah.
This is in the 70s. So would they...
I think there was the decade of love. I think it was Woodstock.
Okay, so would they shove you in lockers and the like?
Yes. I think I got shoved in a locker once in middle school, yeah.
So that has to be frightening, and then they...
At the time it was, yes.
Yeah, well, no, it'd still be. So they shut you in a locker, and then they... Because I've never seen it happen.
Oh, it happened. Okay. Oh, it definitely happened.
So they shoved you in a locker and they did the combo so you couldn't get out?
Oh, no, there wasn't a combo. It was like one of those things without the combination lock. They like put a pencil in so you couldn't lift up the handle. I was in there for about 5 minutes.
All right, now were you freaking out?
At the time, yeah, I was like 13,
no, but
12?
Anyone at my age, yeah. I'd be freaking out if you put
like
me in
tunnels.
A
closet.
Yeah, I don't even like tunnels. I mean, if you put me in a locker, I'd lose my mind. Now, how'd you finally get out?
They let me out. They'd had their fun, and that was it. It's like, all right, we've proven our point. We shoved Wallach in a locker. It's time to go.
All right, so they heard.
We got class. We got science to go to. Light up the Bunsen burners, man. We got to go.
That's right. He turned into the eagle and was attacking them.
That's right. Talons out.
All right, so because I'm watching Malcolm in the Middle with my children.
Sure.
Was there ever a situation where an attractive woman asked for tried to seduce you to do her homework?
Sure. I think there was a time where that actually happened.
Really?
I think there was. Yeah, there was a time where there was a girl who tried to get me to do her homework. Now, was she great looking? No.
Okay, but did you do her homework?
I did not.
All right, how did that hold? So she was like, what? Did you like rub your leg and go like, hey, will you do my homework?
I don't remember exact. I don't remember the exact particulars. Legit, I don't remember.
Right.
I just remember that I said no. I have other things to do. I got a D&D tournament to go to, something. I decided not to do it.
Okay.
I was too stupid to get asked to do homework.
Well, yeah, I never got asked to do anybody's homework. I was stupid, too.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like I was an A student, either. I was like solid BB+. You know?
And so, but you had been shoved in locker. Was there anything else?
That happened once. I did get shoved in a locker once.
Now, what was the worst thing that happened to you in high school?
That might have been it, actually. That's kind of humiliating. So, yeah, I think that was probably it. Now,
were there other kids around?
It wasn't a situation like in the movies where everyone's standing around looking and pointing and laughing. There were about three larger kids than me.
Do you remember their names?
No.
Oh, he's got them written down.
Yeah, they're tattooed on my forearm like Ty has.
Why don't you say their names?
I legit don't remember their names. I'm probably blocking. I legit don't remember.
Do you think they're failures
in life?
Yeah,
I would imagine so.
Okay,
because what they did to them. Look at how they spent their free time.
I mean, just
you can't be picking on kids like that.
They were covering up their own insecurities.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I hated high school.
Why?
I looked like a Cabbage Patch doll for all 4 years of high school. It was the worst time of my life. It was awful.
Now, did you get picked on?
Yeah, but then I had a point where like I kind of like just became a little bit of a psycho. Like, despite I was just like, you know, I'd probably bite someone if they tried to fight me or something. No, I don't know. But I got like there was this one kid who wanted to fight me for all 4 years of high school. And I was like, why do you want to fight me? I hit the point where I was like, why don't you like me? He's like, because you think you're funny, and I don't think you're funny. And I was like, oh, that's weird. I can just not tell jokes around you if that make you feel better. He's like, no, that's not good enough. And I was like, okay.
That happened to me too.
I'm like, you're a weird person.
I had a kid who wanted to fight me all through middle school for no reason. I remember that kid's name, Scott Goodell. I don't know why, but he wanted to fight me the entire time I was at middle school.
Now, why didn't he just fight you?
I don't know. Maybe he didn't get the right. That kid was a legit psycho. I mean, he's one of those kids. He's like the kid that you became. I just wanted no part of him because I knew if anything started, I was going to lose big and it was going to be bad.
But the thing is that it's interesting that these kids said that they wanted to fight you for all those years and never fought you. Like, they just came up and hate you.
All right, so this kid tried it once. I was at a carnival. And I was waiting to go on the zipper ride, you know, the one you just spin around and you throw up. Yeah, so I was waiting to go on that with this girl who definitely didn't want anything to do with me. And I'm waiting to go on this ride, and he taps me on the shoulder, and I look behind me, and there's him and like 19 kids with him. And he's like, you want to do this right now, funny guy? And I was like, I actually definitely don't, if that's okay with you. I'm all set. And he was like, it's now or never. And I literally had like a thing of cotton candy in my hand, and I'm like, I don't feel like this is an appropriate time to fight. You have a lot of your friends with you. I have this girl who I'm trying to woo. This is a bad idea. I hope that kid is dead. I don't know what he's up to these days, but I hope he's not alive anymore because I don't like him.
But that's so weird because you would think that if you wanted to fight someone that bad, you just fight him. You just go and push him down, start kicking him or something. It's almost like a weird obsession that they had with you guys.
I didn't understand why.
Because it does not take two to tango in a fight. I mean, you can just go in and sucker punch a kid.
That's true.
Especially when you were a kid and I was a kid. You could just sucker punch a kid and not get in that much trouble.
There were no videos around, no teachers watching over the hallways. That's true.
Right. Yeah. So, like, if you wanted to fight you that bad, he should have just fought you. It's almost weird that they were just talking around following you.
No, I used to get, like, whispers in, like, math class, Goodell wants to fight you. I'm like, okay.
So it was, like, 12 o'clock high or something?
Yeah, it was. It was kind of like that. So he's going to wait for you by the flagpole. I'm like, okay.
So you would see the, time ticket?
That's right. And I was like, all right, which exit do I leave? You know, do I go out the back? Yep, Muzzy Junior High School. Lexington, Mass.
Yeah, I grew up in like the AOL Instant Messenger sort of era. So like I would leave an away message up and be like, watching Seinfeld, going out with my friends later. And I'd come back and I'd have a message from this kid. And he'd be like, oh yeah? You think you're as funny as Seinfeld? Like he was obsessed with me thinking I was funny. And he would be like, you're going to be dead. And I'm like, okay, I guess. He was a really weird person.
So you wish he was dead. You hope he's dead.
I do. Yeah, that's a genuine, I don't like him at all.
Like, you hate him.
Oh, yeah, it's still like...
Do you hate him more than anyone else in the world?
He's up there for me. There's a few people that have since eclipsed him in the power rankings, if you will, but...
how many people, Ty, do you wish dead?
I know of a couple off the top of my head after talking with him. I know there are at least two.
No, dead is too strong. I hope nothing good happened. I wish no good things.
But there's
things.
People that you wish dead. I mean, there's no question. I mean, it's not just something you say. There's people you wish dead. I don't want to hear their names. But how many people do you wish would be dead?
I don't know if I want to go that far. I think I've let that go. But this kid,
no, you haven't.
This kid is the worst. He was the absolute worst. I don't know what he's up to these days. I'm sure it's not anything good at all.
Have you ever tried to find him on Facebook or anything like that?
Yeah, I tried to find him actually by searching the town police log because I want to know how bad his life got, but it wasn't quite that bad. So I'm hoping I can plant something on him soon and have my victory lap.
Oh, when I found out that you could go through the prison systems in Michigan, that was like 3 days of wonderful fun.
You found a few guys, right?
Found like 10 guys.
Oh, God.
Mike, go ahead.
Hey, hold on. Sorry. No worries. But I understand. I want to play Wallach, too. I don't even know why. I want to play Wallach and Ty.
What do I do?
I don't know. You guys just bother me for some reason.
Get by association.
I don't even know why. I love you guys, but I don't know. I just want to punch you in the face for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, that seems reasonable.
I'm not funny at all.
That's right.
So I didn't have your problem, Ty.
Yeah, that guy in North Carolina wants to fight you.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good point.
That's definitely going to
happen. Point.
The guy's so lame. I'm going to be up there in July with my in-laws. Why don't you come fight me come to me like a man? Yeah, all right, yeah, fine.
You mess with his producer, you mess with his family.
Yeah, come find me, I'll fight you. I swear to God, if you come find me, I'll fight you. You're too busy building your quote-unquote man cave. Josh, go ahead.
Hey, fellas, how are you?
Hey, what's up?
So I used to get bullied when I was a freshman and sophomore in high school by this kid. I was a late bloomer, like short kid, chubby, and this guy spent like most of his time just beating on me for 2 years. And so I went to visit my uncle up in Framingham. I grew up in Missouri. I went to visit my uncle in Framingham for the summer and told him what was going on, and he just had me hitting the weights and learning how to box. And I came back like 30 pounds lighter, solid muscle, and spent my next year beating this poor bully for the next year, and just it was the most gratifying thing ever.
See, Ty, that's what you should have done. You should have gone and hit the weights.
The Jenny Jones episode right there.
Well, what happened to me is I lost my two front teeth and I had a big scar on my face my junior year, and everyone's like, yo, what happened to him? And I just fell because I'm an idiot, but I was like, yeah, I got hit in the face with a bat, and like, you're just making things up by the end of it. People like, yo, I don't want to mess with that kid, he's a lunatic.
Yeah, when I was in elementary school, my dad was making me play catch with him, and it was getting dark, and he hit me in the eye with a ball, and it got all bruised up and stuff. So I went to school, I was in fifth grade, I went to school and I told everyone I was in a gang fight. So I got sent to the principal's office and they asked me all these questions if I was being beaten at home, because they figured out that I was not in a gang at the age of 11. That somehow occurred to them. All right. Well, if you got any stories, 617-779-0995. This took a turn I was not expecting.
Mm-hmm. I hate Dale.
Well, listen.
Speaking of bullies.
Yeah.
You could hit Walk in the knees.
Give him the what for.
Yeah. He could grab your leg. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
For the latest podcasts, for the latest sports news, and for Tutcher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
Oh, Tony Hawk Pro Skater, how you've played this song so many times. All right, Ty and Wallach wish several people dead that were wrong them in their lives. Ralph, you claim to be a guy who bullied Ty.
Ty!
What up?
You think you're funny? You think you're funny, little man?
I think. I don't know who Ralph is.
No, Ralph, how do you know Ty?
I used to stick his head in the toilet back in high school.
Oh, yeah? What high school?
I don't know, wherever they...
The one with the toilets.
Oh! Also, I know one person in the world named Ralph. Like, I was born 1991. There's not a lot of Ralphs walking around.
Yeah, not too many Ralphs going around. But I was getting my back waxed a couple days ago because it's pool season.
Of course.
And if
are we still JCC bound? I thought we gave that up, right?
Yeah, I'm not JCC.
You're
anymore.
Out. All right.
No, I've gone up a level.
Oh,
with my pool, or 11, with my pool experiences. But I was saying this yesterday, Ty, is that they pulled the hair out, and when they pull the hair out of your back, it's like twice the length because of the what's underneath the skin. And the woman was at, so first of all, the woman said that I was my tolerance for pain was off the charts, which is due to my S&M life, I would imagine. But they said I was Black Irish. Black Irish.
Like Thin Lizzy?
No, not African-American Irish, or however you would put it. I'm something Black Irish.
So am I.
You're Black Irish.
Yes.
So what does that mean? What did we decide that means?
That was like something like the Spanish came and started impregnating people. I don't know. I've heard the story before. All
right, now, what part of Ireland is your family from?
Cork and Galway.
Okay,
Bay.
See, I'm Cork.
Yeah.
So, are you hairy?
Not on my back, but everywhere else. Yeah.
All right. So the curse of the Black Irish is a phenomenal amount of body hair.
Yeah. Well, but in the small penis, right? Isn't that an Irish thing too?
Well, I don't know if it's an Irish thing. It's me.
Yeah.
I mean, I got that situation happening. But you know, 23andMe. I learned this all due to my back waxing experience. I learned a lot about how I am, because I always thought, because I'm Irish German, I always thought, oh, well, why am I so hairy? Why have I been cursed? My father had a big hairy back. I said, what have I been cursed by? But apparently this is something of Spanish settlers impregnating the Irish and making us very hirsute.
Yeah.
You ever get your back waxed?
No, I haven't hit that point yet. I hope I don't, to be honest. It sounds kind of awful.
Oh, it's nice. They take wax, and then they put a strip on it, and they let the wax harden, and then they rip it out. You know?
Is there something going on, Fred, over there?
The timing
what's
was
up, guys?
Unbelievable.
How is everything okay?
Bert just texted me and said that his wife just informed him I was no longer a member of the JCC pool. Apparently, this is taking the nation by storm.
Oh,
yeah, the JCC pool it had to end.
Why?
Like, because there's nothing for me to do there.
Well, there's been nothing for you to do there for a while.
Yeah, my kids were little. Now they're 11 and 8.
Okay, and that's out of the JCC pool range?
I mean, if you go to the JCC pool, you're literally sitting there.
Yeah.
Or you're playing in the water with your kid.
You got the foosball table, right?
But they're always off kilter a little
ping
bit.
Ping pong? I understand the wind currents are difficult playing ping pong outside.
See, if you play ping pong at the JCC pool, you're never going to be able to play inside. Because the wind conditions.
Oh, it alters your game.
Yeah.
Irrevocably.
The wind conditions are too much.
I see.
Plus, you know, I had already seen Maude Rabinowitz nude. And,
yeah.
I mean, there was nothing more.
Fanny Feinstein, I understand. Yeah, these things are, yeah.
These are things I no longer had
so
to see.
So you've upgraded to what?
I have upgraded to a place where they serve alcohol by the pool.
Okay, that's an outdoor pool, right?
It is an outdoor pool.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's other things for me to do there. And you only have to be 10 to be unsupervised at the pool.
Okay.
So I can go off and do my business,
right?
And in fact, I'm doing that today. I'm having my son at the pool. I don't have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
JCC pool with a lot of sitting there.
Yeah,
you know, I'd made the commercials there. I'd done everything I wanted. 1 year I got a lot of guest passes, but other than that, Not much.
Were they sorry to see you go when you just informed them that you were not renewing your membership?
I think there was panic.
Yeah.
I think that there was some panic in that situation. But I was never a full member. I was I was always just a pool membership.
I see. Yeah. And what does that give you? First, I'm hearing, I don't remember this part of it. Then that entitled you to what? Just a pool?
Just the pool. The pool.
Nothing indoor?
Oh,
nothing.
Tennis.
I see.
You could play tennis. There was a wall you could hit a ball against.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was a lot of stuff. Foosball privileges. Bing pong privileges. But they never fixed the foosball tables. The foosball tables were always off kilter. They were always leaning in one way or the other. There was no fair way to play. So, I mean, that. And then my son played foosball 8 hours a day at that place. Bought him a foosball table. He's played it once. Like a good foosball table.
Yep.
Like expensive foosball table. And he won't play it.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's like that with kids. All right. Evan, go ahead.
All right. I got a funny story about being bullied. So in middle school, I was bullied by this one kid. And he thought it would be fun one day to try to frame me about writing stuff on his side of his house. So he took spray paint. He spray painted my name on the side of his house, saying, like, Evan was here. Called the cops. Cops came to my house. They go, hey, why did you write this stuff on this kid's house? And I look at the cops like, you think I'm a dumbass? Why would I write my own name when I'm vandalizing somebody's house? So they went back to the kid, and they're like, did you do this? He's like, yeah, I did it. Come to find out. Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I said, come to find out, 10 years later on LinkedIn, he reaches out, and he's like, hey, Evan, I'm really sorry about what I did to you back in middle school. I feel really bad. So guilt trip comes back to you. Bullies are kind of dumb when you think about it.
Yeah. Now, Bird, were you a bully? Because you're a large man. You played Everett High School football. Were
no.
you? No?
No.
You were friends with the dweebs and everything else?
No. There's a few times in high school, like, well, I bully a kid, but it's just because he was being obnoxious and wouldn't sit down or shut up, like, in class or in gym. It's like, dude, no one cares about your life or situation. Everyone has problems. Shut the F up.
So you weren't a bully.
Huh?
So you weren't a bully.
No, most of the time I was nice. I was nice to everybody.
Unless they started acting up.
Unless they annoyed you, in which case the switch got flipped.
Yeah, unless they annoyed you, and then you would...
Not a lot of people annoyed me in high school. It's just like a handful of times. It's like, dude, stop it. Just stop.
Now, like, were they nerds?
Yes.
I see.
Okay, so did you...
You were not a bully.
You only yelled at kids and threatened them if they annoyed you.
Yes.
Or if they were different than
if
you.
If they had problems.
Yeah.
No, it's just... No, like,
who cares, your mother
like,
died?
They tell everyone, like, everyone in the classroom, their problems. Like, dude, no one cares.
So when someone would reach out and they had problems, what would you do? You would hit them?
Go see the counselor.
Step on his face.
No, go see the counselor.
How many fights did you get in high school?
Zero.
Really?
None.
Zero. Okay. So I was bullied too in high school as well.
How could you be bullied?
You played Everett High School football. You were a god in that school.
When I was a freshman sophomore, the junior and senior would like pick on me.
Yeah, like, what would they do to you?
Like, we'll be doing hitting drills. Like, no, let's do it again. I'm like, no, dude. Like, they would just smash my head. Boom, boom, boom.
Okay, it happened on the football field.
Okay, that's
on practice.
That's a little different, Bert.
No, but they were vicious. No.
Yeah.
One of them's a janitor, the other kid's a loser, so I don't care.
But you put that behind you.
Yes, it absolutely has. See, I was a bully.
Not a bully.
I was a bully in high school.
And Bird works here.
Yeah, I was mean as hell.
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah. I was really mean.
Huh.
I feel bad about
that. What are some of the things that you did to these unsuspecting kids that were smaller than you?
I would, not smaller than me. I didn't do it physically. I did it mentally.
Okay.
I would get people to never talk to the kids.
Oh, man.
In fifth grade, I had the whole class give the kid a silent treatment for a month.
Wow. What the hell is wrong with you?
You're a sociopath.
My God.
He's been in and out of jail.
Yeah.
He was a heroin addict.
Tell me you're kidding. You didn't actually do that.
I swear to God, I got the whole class not to talk to a kid for a
while. What was the offer? How did you get them to sign off on that?
Because they were afraid I'd make fun of them if they didn't do it. A lot of insecurity issues there, Tom.
So why did you do that to this kid? What did he do to you?
I think I felt like I was powerful and that I was I had low self-esteem. So I decided that was what I was going to do.
We had a teacher that we bullied.
Really? Oh, we had a teacher we bullied in middle school.
But sure. we did stupid things. We would like hide a stapler in the ceiling, and he'd be like, "Where's my stapler?" And be like, "Oh, well, why didn't you ask?" And he'd like walk up and lift the ceiling and like pull it out, and he'd be like, "Why is it up there?" And you're like, "I don't know."
Yeah, because there's a certain point as a teacher where there's nothing you can do.
Yeah, no, we had kids like throw erasers, like take erasers and chalk to the back of the class and then throw it at her when she had her back turned, that kind of thing.
I'll tell you this, is I bullied one kid in middle school, and I was walking down the hall, and he took a textbook and just ripped me in the head with it.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, and then I was like, "Oof, well, that's the end of that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that." No, because I transferred into a school in sixth grade, and I was very afraid. So I chose to pick on who I felt were lesser people in order to gain my self-esteem.
It's a prison mentality.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, no, except that I went after the weakest.
Yeah.
But... yeah, that's what I did. Yeah, I was real mean.
So there are people out there who remember you. Who live
I think that
in
I
a jail cell somewhere.
I think I became
in Michigan.
I think I became enough of a loser as time went on that kind of worked itself out.
The silent treatment for a month.
Yep.
That guy has your name carved.
Oh my God.
No, he likes me. He Facebooks me and says I'm his best friend.
Oh.
No, this is a dangerous game. You need to get out of this immediately.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, probably not good to keep contact at this point.
It's actually an amazing amount of discipline that it took to get to the people not to talk to him for a whole entire month.
Why'd you end it?
It wasn't funny anymore.
To you. See.
They gave me the silent treatment because I was just a gross kid wearing ratty t-shirts every day.
Yeah, I mean, that was everybody. That was everybody. That's why I have this job, is because of my insecurities and the need to feel superior to people due to my own insecurities. That's absolutely what it is. But I wasn't a good enough bully to fight. There was one kid that I bullied a lot, and he came after me. I hit him in the face, and I ran. I told you a story about when my friends...
Nick just raised his hand. I don't know why he did that, but he feels empathy for him, or you either hit him in the face. I'm not sure what you did.
I've hit Nick in the face. I told you the story about the house across the street that my friends used to blow up mailboxes and stuff.
Yes.
And then the one time they just poured gas in the kid's tree in the front yard and lit it on fire.
Yes, you have told that story before.
And then the garage door just opened and the car just blacked out and took off. And it was in the paper that arsonists had burned down this. I mean, they're lucky the house didn't burn down. It was an odd area, John.
Yeah, I'm seeing that.
Because there's a way you can make concussion bombs. Just with household items,
uh-huh.
And you put them in a 2-liter, and it gets super hot, and then it explodes, and it can blow up a mailbox, which I believe is a federal offense. So
get
that going.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we'll talk about sports. All right. We'll be right back. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Toucher and Rich are back on TV.
I really didn't know that.
Twitch.tv. Follow the Sports Hub. Watch and react with 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Shot comes down to Brady. Dropping back. Lobs a throw for Gronkowski. Left side. Makes the catch. Over 2 defenders. Tumbling to the 2. First and goal to go.
I just told you they're going to bleed him. He's going to dink. He's going to dunk you. He's going to set you up. The Rams, they can't line up. Brady sees it. And it's a 29-yard strike to the big boy.
98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich, and what was surprising news to me, because I thought that this was going to be an instance where the Patriots made this random pickup and then the guy went nuts, was Austin Seferian Jenkins. I guess he needed a month away from football to take care of someone's issues. I don't know what they were, but Seferian Jenkins is a talented tight end. He just always was hurt. I mean, he was good when he was healthy with the Jets, and I figured that once he got on the Patriots, and they found a role for him, that he would be good. So I think this is a bit of a blow to the Patriots.
Why release him, though? That I don't understand. If he's going to be gone a month.
Maybe the nature of the...
That's what I'm getting to. I mean, this has to be fairly bad. The Patriots don't want any part of this in order to say, no, he's not with us.
Or maybe he was getting suspended, so they cut him.
Maybe.
If you get suspended and you're no longer a part of a team, did they announce that you're suspended?
Well, Watson has been suspended for 4 games.
No, but he's signed by the Patriots. I mean, he's still with the Patriots. Right. Oh, you're making the point that they kept Watson and they didn't keep Zavarian Jenkins.
Yeah.
And he was unsigned when they told him he had failed that test, so.
Okay, and so they figured the 4 weeks.
Whatever this is can't be good.
No.
I mean, this is, there's no damage to your roster by simply keeping him at this point.
And it's odd because they still have Josh Gordon. He's still in their plans.
Right.
And he's going through hell again, you know, as on a personal level, so. Whatever this is, I mean, yeah, but they've stuck with guys through worse. Like, I mean, obviously,
which is why this is strange, because a month from now you're still 2 or 3 weeks away from camp starting. I mean, just keeping them under your logo for a month does no damage to you.
And
so, why release him now?
And they don't have Watson for the first 4 games. So
they don't care about the first 4 games. They never do. They don't care about the first 4 games. They could lose them all and not care.
Yeah. I know, but their tight end position is so weak.
It doesn't matter. They can get around that. They'll run heavy. They'll use double tackles. It doesn't matter.
And it's June. That's the other part of this. There's a long way to find a guy.
I mean, they really don't care about the first. I mean, for almost as long as I've been on the radio here, 13 years, there's been talk of how much they suck.
Yeah,
the first quarter of the season, and it always ends up, they're all right.
Yeah.
Rob, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Rob.
It's kind of a similar situation with Josh Gordon. I have a family member that kind of works at an airport, and he actually met Austin Seferian Jenkins returning a car, and they have to clean the Avis cars out, and he talked to the guy that cleaned the car out afterwards, and they found roach clips, and they found marijuana. The car reeked of pot. So, doesn't surprise me.
Well, there you go.
I don't think that's the reason they got rid of him.
And it's an ironclad fact.
You cut a guy loose for no reason.
Yeah, ironclad facts right there is that if you were working at a car rental company and the car smelled like weed.
So he knew a guy that talked to the guy that cleaned the car out.
Right.
Okay,
and that it was marijuana.
Right.
Meanwhile, they're willing to stick with guys that have far worse. I mean, Josh Gordon. I mean, who knows? He's suspended indefinitely, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, they have no idea when he's coming back.
Yep. But I mean, again, they tendered him, so he's still their property. He's still very much in their plans.
Yeah. I just thought that
this whole Seferian Jenkins thing is weird because I assumed that he was going to be this team's starting tight end.
So did
He's clearly the best talent of all the people on their roster, although people keep telling me that this kid Lacoste is an undiscovered gem as a backup tight end in Denver. I mean, God knows what he will give, but I think he might be the best guy on the roster right now without Seferian Jenkins there.
Yeah. Well,
it's Steven Anderson behind him. It's Ryan Izzo. Larry.
Yeah.
And then there's... the undrafted kid, I think Andrew Beck, I want to say. They gave him a ton of money.
Is that Anthony Beck's kid?
I have no idea.
Anthony Beck, the first-round pick of the New York Jets? A man who never quite panned out? Well, that's a lineage if that's his dad. And also that means that he had quite a young child. Yeah, so Seferian Jenkins was someone that I thought was going to have a lot of success. And now that's not happening.
And he's been public about his alcohol struggles throughout his career, which is why he never really panned out to what everybody thought he was going to be. So who knows what this is about, but he's had a history with substance abuse. So.
Well, you know who is very excited that Mo Lewis got a DUI is Manish Mehta, because he hated Muhammad Wilkerson. And then when he got the DUI, he just was over the moon with it. He was just thought it was the greatest thing in the world. All right, so we'll be back. Billy Jaffe is coming in studio. We have Ty Anderson in studio. Very Bruins heavy coming up at 8 o'clock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
There's someone very special I want you guys to meet.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want to tell you both good luck.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Yo, what's up, guys?
Thanks. 98.5, The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich, so I just saw that thing you were just showing me. It was on television. How old is this woman they were rescuing?
74.
All right, so there's a woman who's 74 years old. She's hiking in Arizona, and as 74-year-olds might want to do, is that she was having some troubles. So they had to pick her up via helicopter. They had to get her down and put her in some kind of... like a plastic bed or something of that name, whatever they call that thing. And they're lifting her to the helicopter. They're lifting her to safety. And in much like a nightmare, this thing just starts spinning uncontrollably. And they're talking about it. And they're like, oh, she must be passed out by now. Like, this is now. Okay. Would you rather be injured in the desert and have to sit there for like another 6 hours or go through that hell ride of spinning around? I mean, she's spinning around about as fast as a human being can spin.
Rather spin around.
Yeah. No.
I mean, I didn't mean that. I meant sit in the desert.
All right. But it's scary. I mean, you're alone in the desert. I don't know how she's getting. Well, that's first of all what people get for hiking in the desert.
I can't think of this clip without laughing. Like, it's that level for me. It's just so... It's like a Looney Tunes scene. It's not something that should be happening in real life.
No, it's the... And I don't know how the rope gets twisted like that. I don't know what happened. It's like taking a pencil and just keep going and going and going around a rubber band and then letting it go. Except it doesn't stop. Did they get her in the helicopter?
I just want to know what she's saying at that very moment.
Well, they figure she passed out due to the severity of the spinning. What is the pleasure that one derives from hiking in the desert? I mean, she's literally like just in the middle of nowhere.
Might get bitten by a snake or something.
Well, yeah, of course.
No good is going to come out of it.
No, I don't understand the pleasure of it. I don't understand the pleasure of walking around in the desert. It's just, you're just, for what? Because it's more hot? Because there's nothing to look at. You just like being in the desert. You know, she was obviously by herself. So she's by herself, and then they put her in this thing, and then she goes on the wild ride.
There's not like a gym near her, like that she can just wear like a hoodie and go like walk an elliptical. Be like, I'm getting a sweat on.
Yeah. Or like, you know, I'm going to go walk this nice trail in the woods. I got to go out there in the desert.
Deserts freak me out.
Oh, absolutely. Rich goes to these places in the desert. Like, he stayed at this hotel that was legitimately in the middle of nowhere. Nothing around it for dozens and dozens of miles. It's a very nice hotel, but it was just put in this, like, rock area. And I can't think of anywhere I'd less like to be.
Well, he drives in these desolate areas, like western Texas, headed towards New Mexico. But just, there's nothing out there, and he loves it.
Yeah. I mean, him and his wife drove from Atlanta to Vegas for the night. And then drove back.
One time he drove through Utah and got followed by, like, cult people. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. I remember that story.
All right. Robert, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Morning. Hey, I rode submarines for 20 years, and we've done probably a half dozen of these transfers with a stretcher. And that's always a hazard of the thing spinning from the prop wash. And what we did, and these guys should actually be fired for their negligence, is a guy that's down below has a rope on one end of the stretcher. As it rises up, then he controls the thing from spinning. So these guys, I don't know what they were doing, why they broke protocol, but you could put a person's life in danger from spinning that hard like that.
I would imagine. Now, you were in submarines?
Yeah, did that for 20 years.
Now, how'd you handle that?
I mean, you just, you, you go inside your mind and you just basically you just kind of do your own thing. You bring a lot of books, there's a lot of movies, and you just hope that no one's walking around the racks at that time of the night when you're feeling lonely for the wife.
Right, so there is, but it sounds like a prison.
I was just going to say, you're in an enclosed space under a lot of water. That would be the thing that would freak me out more.
How long were you down there for, like, at a time?
The longest we, actually, the pretty interesting story, the longest we were ever under was for 89 days straight. And what happened was we were off the coast of unsaid communist enemy back in the 80s. And our relief submarine couldn't make it. So what happened was we went into food rationing the last 2 weeks we were under, and the only thing we had to eat was we got one meal a day, which was a scoop of peanut butter, one slice of bread, and a thin slice of ham. That was our meal. And I got to tell you, for about 5 years after that, I did not eat any of those three items.
I can imagine. My God. Go ahead.
But anyway, it's really not that difficult. And actually, the submarine that I was on was actually, the submarine was actually famous for a couple of reasons. During World War II, the submarine, which is by the name Finback, one of the subs I was on, that was a submarine that rescued George Bush Sr. during World War II when he was shot down.
And so you were in an old-ass sub?
No, this is the predecessor sub, long before I was alive.
Oh, okay.
But they reused the names, but one of the times I was on, this was back in 75, sorry, the old man was, he really liked strip clubs, and we had done really well on one of our nuke reactor examinations. And so as a reward for us, we were coming out of Port Canaveral. He hired a famous stripper to come on board the submarine and dance for us. And apparently that was kind of frowned upon even back in 75 when Zumwalt was...
That's a good idea. They get you all riled up, and then they go, hey, you're stuck with a bunch of dudes for the next 89 days. They bring a stripper on board and go, all right. And now she'll be leaving. See you later.
She's going to go see the sun.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you're going to be underwater for 89 days. All right.
So you're claustrophobic. This is what I'm gathering. From tunnels to submarines.
No, I'm not claustrophobic in elevators. I'm not claustrophobic in but tunnels are not. I am not a fan of things that human beings should not be doing. Like, there's human beings should not be comfortable going through tunnels, because that's not something that is in our DNA. Certainly people shouldn't be comfortable in submarines.
What about spinning on the way into a helicopter?
Oh, no, that would be the bee's knees. Oh, I would really like that. All right, Billy Jaffe is here. We will talk about the Bruins. We will be back. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.